Read scripture, please. This is going to be Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 21, page 870 in the Pew Bibles, if you want to look there. Everyone ready? For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, lead us and guide us today as we hear your word. I pray that you would fill Bodville Mike with your spirit and that he would be your instrument to communicate this word to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You know, in the old days, the preacher would sit and the congregation would stand. There was no chairs. Okay, that went over like a lead balloon. Wow. All right. I've lived in many places. In fact, over 15 different locations. But there's only two places that I call home. The first one is in Creskill, that was in Creskill, New Jersey. We know, we know every inch of our homes, the homes that we grew up in. And this home, I can recall in my teenage years, when you come in home late after you've broken curfew and you think your mom and dad have gone to sleep and it's, you know, way past curfew, and you open the door and you know that the wooden floor, if you stepped exactly right to the left a little bit, it would make that creaking sound, so you kind of make sure you go that way. And in our homes, you know, you can go into our parents' bedroom and you can remember where the painting was or where the picture was, or you can remember the experience of the kitchen, you with the dishes and the pots out of the cabinets, or your children. There's familiarity and experiences that we cherish that have gone either that are good or they're bad. The second place I call home is the house we bought 5 years ago. We love our home. Having family outside of Fresno is difficult because we have to travel back and forth to see them. But almost every time we're away, probably within the next day, we both communicate, Tamara and I, we can't wait till we get back to our home. And I'm sure you may have the same feelings or of desiring your comfortable bed or the comfort that our homes, the couches, your spot in front of the TV. The home is where exhaustion is replenished. Home is where we're supported by our loved ones. We're loved. We're rested. It's a safe haven from people outside of the world. When we bought our house, not exaggerating, we probably looked at over 100 homes. And it was at the time where the market, there was a lot of options, and we knew that we wanted in a home. We knew what we wanted in a home, and some came very close. And I'm glad as we walked into the home we have now, we both saw and knew this home would be perfect, would be great. This is where we see our family going. Every home is not perfect, and it needs to be maintained. Sometimes emergencies happen in our homes, like floods, unexpected floods, and they need immediate attention. Sometimes our homes need a remodel. Sometimes they need to be changed to function better. Sometimes they need to be changed so they can even look better. If we have a relationship with Jesus, meaning we've come to confess, repented of our sin, God has forgiven our sin through his Son, Biblically, it also says then the Holy Spirit reigns in our hearts. Another way of saying this is that God abides, that God is at home in you. His house is in you. As we, he finds a house in your heart. And as we live now till we die, God is at home in our house. And as we pursue this relationship, it's just not that he lives down in my heart. Where? It's not that he just lives in my heart, but God begins to make his way to other parts of my home and begins cleaning house. One of the central ways this process, which we also call sanctification, right? Him coming and living in us is the process of sanctification until we get better and better and better and following Jesus until we face him. In this process of sanctification, the way we get through this cleaning process is through prayer. How are we going to know what needs to be remodeled, what needs to be transformed in our bodies, what needs to be renewed if we're not talking to God? There lies the problem. Because we often don't ask about what's leading our fear. We often don't ask what's got control of my anxiety, our controlling nature, what's driving that, what drives our lust for success, what drives our lust for women or men, what drives our insecurities. We don't go in asking because we're scared of the answer. But here's the beauty of this process in prayer. If we've already said, Lord, I want to live for you. If we've said this, Lord, I want to live for you. I want to enjoy heaven with you. I want to honor you for the rest of my life. Then this transformation, this sanctification process, till we die, is for our good and for his glory. So then the questions we ought to ask is, what should we pray? Why should we pray? I mean, if God knows everything, why should we even, like, vocalize? Why should we pray? We need to even put that up there. Do we even find prayer important, or is this a good time to check out and get a quick five-minute nap? The other day, Emmy was asking about blood. She had a cut, and we were going to put a Band-Aid on it, and she's like, I don't like blood, Baba. Blood is just scary. And kids, when they see something that's just out of the ordinary or weird, they're like, blood is bad. Blood is bad, Baba. No. And I was explaining to her, actually, I know you don't like it. I know you don't like seeing it coming out of you, but it's actually pretty important to our bodies. And just like blood is to the body, prayer is absolutely pivotal. So the Apostle Paul provides three requests to the he's got three requests to the Ephesians that are applicable to believers in 2017, as well as central to the survival of the church. These prayer requests are not only the survival for the Ephesian church, but a survival for FAPC, for survival for any church. So the first prayer request is, be strengthened with power by the Holy Spirit. In the verb to be strengthened, in the Greek actually, it shows the verb in a passive voice. I know this is a little bit of a grammar thing, but this is very important. And when something is in the passive voice, when the Apostle Paul is writing the verb in a passive voice, he's basically alluding to some other person is doing the work of that verb. So he's saying God is actually going to do the empowering of you. God's doing the power. Our power source is God. And another really cool thing about this word is, the reason why I put dynamite is because that's where we get the word dynamite. The word power is dunamis in the Greek. That's where we get dynamite. So check it out. You have dynamite at your access. I don't know about you. That's pretty cool. Right? You have access to dynamite, the power source that we have. Now, this isn't dynamite that we can just use to just blow people up with words and criticisms, right? This isn't just like we want to just blow them to hell because they've just been whatever they've been doing. No, this is, we have, the reason why he says this is because we need strength. We need strength. We need strength when life's not going great. It's so easy to fall into despair when everywhere we turn is bad news, right? We need to be strengthened when faced with a difficult decision, difficult moral decision at work. We need to be strengthened by the dynamite of the Holy Spirit. Another way of saying the Holy Spirit is he's your counselor, he's your comforter, he's your advocate. Literally, it's the one who's called alongside of you to help. This power source of dynamite, you can call on him anytime, and he's going to help you through whatever situation we're going through. We need that advocate to come alongside and help to strengthen us when we faced terrible medical news. We need the strength of the Holy Spirit to walk away from the temptation. I dare you. I don't even know how else to say that. I double dog dare you. Whatever. I dare you to live this life without relying on this strength. I dare you. Because that's exactly what the devil is saying to you in the times of those despair. The devil's kind of got you one ear and going, you don't need that dynamite. You don't need to be strengthened. It's all in you. You got this. You can handle this. You have been wise. You know financially you are successful. You don't need to make that decision. He don't know. You can take care of it. You know what? You know what's best for your family. You've gone through this already. You don't need the strength of that counselor. You don't need the advocate. You don't need the comforter. That's what the Holy Spirit, that's what the devil's trying to do. This prayer request, though, is not for my own body, physically, not my own body, but us as a body. So whenever I refer to his body in this sermon, I'm not just talking about my individual body, but I'm talking about each and every one of us in this body. The first prayer request is for us to be strengthened by dynamite. If we're not empowered, if we're not led by the Spirit, I know we're all Presbyterian, all we can't raise our hands and we can't say amen and all that stuff. But if we're not empowered, led by the Spirit, then we don't look any different than a country club. And we're going to self-implode. We are going to self-implode. Second prayer request is for Christ to be in a familiar home. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with dynamite, with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Christ to be in a familiar home. I don't know about if you do this or not, and Tamar's not here to, you know, she's going to give me the look if I share this. But you know when you have guests over, you got like a dinner party coming over, you know, six people, eight people, whatever. You got to get the house ready, right? What do? You kind of get all the parts of the house that, you know, the guest is not going to go into, and you make sure all the areas that the guest is going to go into, you clean up that area, make sure it's all prim and proper, and then you throw it in all in that room. You may even stuff it into the closet, right? You get it all, you know, make sure, and then if the guests say, well, we, you know, first time here, can we get a tour of the house? Sure. You kind of go through all the house, this is where this is, whatever, and you make sure that room right over there, you don't want to go in there. And if you're honest with the people, you kind of go, well, that's where we threw all the junk in there, okay? So you don't have to go in there. There's an office in there, right? Whatever. We all do this. Come on, let's be real. You clean it, you get all the areas of exposure, everything else they don't need to see. And because deep down inside, you're ashamed of the mess. We're ashamed of the mess. And so you kind of want to hide it. We do this with Jesus. We want to live forever and don't know if we are And we kind of get scared. In fact, some of us, that's a fear, because just like the request, Christ's not at home in this familiar house. For some of us, we've let Christ in our home. He said, yes, Jesus, I want to have a relationship with you, but come along in my house, and here's all the rooms in my house. But Jesus, don't go into that room, because there's a lot of shame there. But Jesus, don't go into that room, because I've got too much fear that you can't do what I want. Jesus, don't go into that room, because that anxiety is what drives me every day. But Jesus, don't go into that room, because I'm seriously sad and mourning and in depression because of whatever it is. And for some of us, we've let him in and we can't even let him into the financial. Well, Jesus, this room right here, when it comes to bank account, future retirement, the will, the business, I got this. I know better than you. So please, Jesus, if you're going to come into this home, if you're going to dwell in my heart, don't go in there. Here's where it gets really cool. I didn't know this till this past week. There are two words that are used for the word dwell. You got dwell, abide, to be at home in. One is used to designate a foreigner dwelling in a land, not actually his home, right? So it's like, you know, our first generation immigrants that have come here, you know, this isn't their land, and they're as a foreigner, they're dwelling here. The second word that is actually used for the word dwell is in the sense of settling down in a place that is a familiar home, making a permanent residence there. And actually, that's the word the Apostle Paul's using. He's not using the first one where it's saying he's just a guest. You guys following? Jesus is not just a guest. If you've said, I want to live for you, Jesus, I believe in what you've done for me on the cross, I want to honor you with my life, then he doesn't live as a guest. He gets to live as permanent resident in your heart. And he says, you know what? I'm going into that closet, and I'm going to cover your shame. I'm going to clean up your anxiety, and don't be fearful, because I got this. So which kind of dwelling does Christ have in your heart? Is he just a guest? Oh, Jesus, come this way. Or is he spread, and is he going in, and is he cleaning house? Ow, that should have done that with the shoulder. Jay, I'm going to have to see you after church, okay? Is he a foreigner in your home? Not allowed a permanent residency? Or has Jesus settled down and has control as a rightful owner? Third prayer request. For you to be rooted and established in love, so that Christ may dwell, verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your familiar house through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have dynamite, may have power, together with all the saints. I love my garden. Yes, I've become a legitimate Fresnozi. I love my garden. We had a great garden this summer, and I planted a winter garden. And get this, I started it by seed. I never tried that before. So I bought all these little pots things, and I planted all these seeds, and then they all sprouted, and you know, because you have the right amount of soil, you have the right amount of sunlight. So I planted beets, romaine lettuce, arugula, Swiss chard, cauliflower, broccoli, and all these things. It's just great, right? When you plant something and you see the little leaf come out of the soil, you're like, wow, I can do this. And you put a little bit of water every day, and the sun is coming, and it's just growing, and then you go plant it in the garden, right? And it's just getting nourishment. And if you're in ag, you know you need good soil, you need good sun, you need good water. We need our nutrients to be rooted, it says, in God's word. You ought to be rooted in God's word. It says you ought to be rooted in prayer. And this is the last part of that, rooted. You need a community that is not against you, but is for you. Or else those roots are shallow. or else those roots aren't going to go deep down and be solid when the wind blows, when it's really, really hot and it dries out the plant. Because there's going to be moments in time where you're parched and you're dry, because everything around you is difficult. If your roots are not entrenched in the Word, if your roots are not entrenched in prayer, and if your roots are not entrenched with the people around us that is for you, then you're just going to wither away. I love the Apostle Paul. Grammatically, he puts two words that aren't supposed to be together, rooted and established. Established, actually, is an architectural word, and rooted is an agricultural word. Established on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is. All other ground is. On Christ the solid. Come on. All other ground. All other ground is sinking sand. Is that really how we sing? We have access to dynamite. All other ground is sinking sand. We have access to dynamite. That's like a little firecracker, right? Like a little spike. All other. Forgive me. Forgive me, I'm not mocking that. I'm just saying we have access to this amazing power, and we sing and we proclaim and we live in a way that it's like, but God is so insignificant, like a little firework. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is. Because the more we're nourished, the more we're nourished and established that God loves me, that God loves us, the more we can face the depths of fear. We have a fear that we're not good enough. We have a fear of not being successful. We have a fear of our children not being the best at whatever. We have a fear of not being loved. We have a fear of dying alone. We have a fear of the unknown. In the depths of God's heart is His love for you. Keep feeding your soul with this promise. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. In the depths of fear, Christ is going to nourish us. May have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. The more we're nourished and established on that God loves us, the more we can face the height of anxiety. Some of us are scared of heights. And I'm not saying go tackle that fear. But the more we're nourished and the more we're established on Christ's love for us, the more we can face any anxiety we have. The more we're established and nourished that God loves us, the more we can face the width of shame. Christ's love is wide enough to reach the most degraded sinner. So whatever shame we're carrying around and we're doing masking and we're hiding it in the closet, whatever we've got, know that it is covered in the width of His arms. The more we're nourished and established that God loves us, the more we can face the length of not feeling loved. We can't even fathom dimensionally how much God loves us. And it actually says it to the point it surpasses knowledge. Sometimes we fill our brains up with just years of Bible study. Oh, the shortest verse in the Bible is John 11, 11:35. Listening to all the great preachers. I listened to this preacher this morning and this preacher this morning. And sometimes we just fill it with all just knowledge. And it might not even take residence, it doesn't even take at home in our bodies, that the height, the depth, the love, the width of Christ's love for us can cover any fear, can cover any anxiety, can cover any shame, can cover the feeling of not loved, not feeling loved. You see, experiencing the depth, the width, the height, the length of God's love surpasses anything you will ever know, surpasses any PhD, any doctorate, any person's ability, IQ. It's not something where you can open up a book and say, yep, I got it, God's love. Awesome. All right, let me move on. No, we get to learn and know that as we experience the width, the height, the length over and over and over again. First request is for us to be strengthened by Christ, the dynamite. Second is for Christ to be at home in our familiar house. Third is to be rooted and established in love. And he doesn't just go off and say, you know, these are the things that you ought to know. But he gives us a purpose, and he finishes it off with his thoughts with a purpose. The purpose for these prayer requests is to be filled with Christ. The Apostle Paul lays out a purpose collectively as a church and as an individual to be filled with Christ so that you could be more and more and more and more filled with Christ. Being filled with Christ is being established and rooted in love. Being filled with Christ is Christ reigning in our house and saying, you've got access to my whole self, not just parts of my body, but my whole self. Christ is at home in us, and then also he is the one empowering us. He is the one strengthening us. And as we get through this, we are being filled more and more and more with Christ. Just as blood is to the body, so is prayer to the relationship with Jesus. Most of us pray, God, I got a big test tomorrow. I hope you come through because I didn't study and I know you can do miracles. Excuse me. We pray for those that are sick. We pray that our children learn obedience. We pray for financial success. We pray because we believe. We pray because we believe and know that if we don't, we're not going to survive. We pray for strength to speak to the one who keeps mocking our faith. We pray for Christ to take permanent residency in our hearts so there's no room for fear. We will not survive in this world if we keep knocking on wood, if we keep thinking positive thoughts. I think happy. I will be happy. Life will be happy. God will give me the happy, right? We know those people are out there kind of telling us, oh, if I keep looking into my own interests, you know, things will come out for its own. No, if we keep going this route, we're going to eventually wither and die. Just as blood is to the body, so is prayer to the relationship with Jesus. Bodley Gregg has communicated a vision of seeing FAPC a house of prayer. We've started first Friday nights of worship and prayer. As a family, you can come and you can worship and pray, bring your requests. Daily at 10 a.m., there's people that get on a phone, and if you're interested in this phone number, you can get on at 10 a.m. Maybe it's your coffee break at work. Maybe you kind of just take a walk for 10 minutes or 15 minutes. Maybe you could at least, you know, check out for 15 minutes from the workplace. You know, what's a couple dollars in that sense? But go at 10 a.m. onto the phone and be praying. If you're interested in that phone number, please see Calum afterwards. And on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. till all the way to the church time, in the bride's room, they have got people in there praying for whatever you need. And here's the scary part about prayer. None of us really want to share what's going on inside. None of us want to really reveal the deep pains, the fears, the daily anxieties, the shame we have, because we're scared of how quick that becomes gossip. Unfortunately, if we're going into prayer with one another to find out how I'm doing better than you in life, then all we become is some glorified country club. And we'll wither away and die. You see, when one part of the body, when one part of the body hurts, we all pray for that part of the body to heal. When one part of the body is fearful of what's to come, we all pray and come together to remind that person about how much God loves them. When one part of the body is dealing with anxiety, we all come together to stand firmly on the promises that in strength and in love and in the dwelling of God's heart, we come together to stand firmly on those promises that the Lord will conquer. Just as blood is to the body, so is prayer to the relationship with Jesus. Last point. I love my daughter's imagination. It reminds me of being a child again. And she takes parts of Disney movies, parents disciplining, Daniel Tiger songs, Armenian words and poems and sayings that she learns at school, and goes into her own world and creates these songs or things or sayings. And imagination is great because it can truly take us into this world of creativity. And I'm looking around this room, and each one of us has some amazing imaginations and some amazing creativity. You see it in your work. You see it with your children. You see it in your day-to-day life. The Apostle Paul finishes this first half of the Ephesians. We are in the first half. It's finished. And then we're going to go into chapter 4. On these last two verses, basically he's saying, all of what I've just said in these previous is only possible because we believe in the God who could do more and more and more and more and more and more until you can't even imagine how much more he can do. In other words, God does an extraordinary degree involving a considerable excess over what would be expected. I expected this, but he can do even more.
Really?
Yeah, he's God. Well, I think I want to just shoot for this. You know, medium is okay. Well, he can do excellent. He can do above that. Well, above and exceedingly more. He can do above and beyond what we can imagine. Sam, he can do above and beyond what we can imagine. Okay, let that really sink in. Seriously, he can do above and beyond what we can imagine. He will. Just as blood is to the body, so is prayer to the relationship with Jesus. Folks, if we don't pray to be empowered by dynamite of the Holy Spirit, if we don't pray for Jesus to be at home in our lives, in our church, if we don't pray to be rooted and established in love, then this is what we look like. Just a walking mummy, ready to be withered and die. You know, what do people see when they see you walk out of this place, not just right now, but on Monday morning? What do people see? Do they see that the power of the Holy Spirit, you have access to the power of the Holy Spirit? Do they see that you are rooted and established in Christ? Do they see that Christ is at home in all scenarios, all rooms of your life? Just as blood is to the body, so is prayer to the relationship with Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we don't have to have the right words. You know our heart. Gosh, I can't believe sometimes how we have access to this amazing power. The same power that said, let there be light, we have access to it. Father, I'm just in awe of that. That alone can carry me through the day. To have access to that power. Father, we need your strength daily. We need your strength in moments. So keep reminding us to pray that. Lord, there are parts of my life that I don't want you to have access. There are parts in our lives that we don't want you to have access. So I pray, Father, that we let go. That we let you go into those rooms of our lives, the financials, the shame, the fear, the anxiety. Father, come and reign and be familiar in those areas. Be familiar in your house, Lord. Not only this house as a body, but me, us individually. And Lord, keep impressing on us. We need that sun. We need that word. We need the prayer. We need to be nourished. We need to be encouraged by one another in this room. To be firmly established on you, to be rooted in you. Because, Lord, at the end of the day, our goal, our purpose in life is not so that Mugo can be glorified, not so that each and one of us can be glorified. Our purpose in life is so that you are glorified through us and that we are filled more and more and more and more and more and more with you, of you. Thank you for your word, Father. Thank you for the reminder of your word. I pray this all in your name. Amen.